This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. In a few minutes, what happens when you share the name of a terrorist and you want to get on an airplane? But first, another grim day for the American military in Iraq. Shiite Muslim militias held partial control over several Iraqi cities. In Fallujah, Sunni insurgents killed a U.S. Marine in the battle that continues there. Gunmen also kidnapped foreigners, apparently as hostages. The kidnappers threatened to burn alive three Japanese hostages if Japan does not withdraw its 1,200 soldiers from Iraq. In Tokyo, the Japanese government issued a statement saying it will not withdraw its troops. New York Times correspondent Jeff Gettleman joins us from Baghdad. Jeff, can you summarize just how things stand today?
Yeah, there's a further sense of things deteriorating here. There's no doubt about that. These kidnappings are quite scary to anybody who works here. Meanwhile, Shia and Sunni groups are now cooperating more than they ever have before. On a humanitarian side, to help each other in the crises that are developing across Iraq, but also militarily. I talked to a number of people from a Shiite militia who said they're trying to get to Fallujah, which is the city that's besieged in western Iraq, predominantly Sunni Muslim, and these Shiite fighters, for the first time, are trying to fight alongside Sunni insurgents, and we've never seen that before. So that's a pretty interesting development. Also today, I was just on the outskirts of Baghdad and witnessed a military convoy get attacked. Actually, I think maybe a minute or two after the beginning of the attack had started, we saw these huge plumes of black smoke boiling up from the highway. And when we got there, there were two trucks completely engulfed in flames. We got out of the car, me and a photographer, to take some pictures of the situation. And all of a sudden, from this neighborhood right near where the attack happened, dozens of men with scars over their faces and Kalashnikovs in their hands came flooding out of the neighborhood into the streets to surround the burning truck. And what was so, you know, unusual and frightening about this was that we weren't in the heart of the Sunni Triangle. We weren't in a city that is known to be up for grabs. We were in Baghdad, about 20 minutes away from the city center.
So you're saying things are really deteriorating even there in Baghdad, where the U.S. military had seemed to be in pretty firm control?
Definitely. I mean, there are places that are essentially no-go zones for the military. I was in a village yesterday that was completely overrun with insurgents, completely. I mean, there were dozens of guys with masks over their faces, RPGs, which are rocket-propelled grenades, and heavy machine guns openly patrolling the streets. And if any U.S. military presence had been there, there would have been an intense fight, and maybe there has been since I was there. But in Baghdad, life has been pretty normal, even while all this stuff is going on around us. But what the events of today showed is that, like, this ring of chaos is tightening around the city, and now there are places even within Baghdad that are dangerous to be in.
How is the military, the U.S. military, and the civilian administrators there, how are they responding?
Well, there's a lot more military presence on the streets. It's kind of ironic. Tomorrow, April 9th, marks the fall of Saddam Hussein. It's the one-year anniversary since the fall of Saddam Hussein, and it kind of feels like we've gone back a year to those early days of the occupation, right after the invasion, where you see large numbers of troops on the streets of Baghdad, tanks in front of schools, soldiers patrolling in front of shops, just this sort of complete blend between, you know, normal Iraqi life and this large military presence. That had been reduced up until the recent time. I mean, a few weeks ago, you didn't see tanks driving around central Baghdad. So one thing that they're doing is increasing the military presence. I think they're also trying to negotiate with some of the leaders of these different resistance groups, but it's really not clear what type of progress they're making.
New York Times correspondent Jeff Gettleman in Baghdad. Jeff, stay safe over there if you can, and thanks for joining us again on Day to Day.
Sure, glad to help.